Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Oh.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Dylan Lee.
All right, yeah.
Host of said here podcast.
Yes, sir.
Why are everybody so upset we got beat by Alabama?
I don't know why they're surprised.
Like, what were your takeaways from that? Because I understand being upset, I guess, but like, why is everybody, it's almost like they're reaffirming, like, get rid of him. Like, what the hell did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, if you weren't on the get rid of him train before that game, you can't be after the game, because, I mean, it is what it is. It was probably, with the exception of some select individuals, it was probably the weakest effort game all around in terms of the players. First sign of seeing some quit, but I don't even know if it was necessarily quit or if it was playing scared, because I felt like top to bottom, the team, the coaches went in there and, you know, saw it was Alabama and decided we weren't going to even try to give them a run for their money. The play calling out the gate was weird. Surprise, surprise on that front. And then, you know, our guys were playing rattled and shook from the get-go. And you can't play anywhere close to a dirty game. It has to be 100% clean when it comes to Alabama. So if you even want to stay around for it. In terms
defense
of
defense, kind of came out hot.
Yeah.
I mean, they opened the game up good, but what did they get the ball? Had the ball two possessions, three possessions in the first 5 minutes or something? Alabama offense?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to work.
So, I mean, obviously, it's really hard to break down a game like this. It's been hard to break down any kind of Arkansas game or preview it, and that's why we've kind of stuck away from it. If you look at our rundown, it consists of four segments right now, and those four segments are we suck, why we suck, what are we doing about it, how are we not going to suck next year?
And then a few bleeps at the end of all that.
Well, that's going to be you. So,
For those of you listening and have already listened to the last episode, I apologize, I guess. Got a little rowdy there, but
we had to slap
at this point, what are we going
to
do?
We had to slap that E on there, man.
And it's good that you're here with us, Dylan. We thought we lost you there the past couple
of
days.
Yeah,
was real rough.
I hope I sound better. That's for sure.
A little wheezy here and there, but nothing too bad.
A little raspy and whatnot, a little deeper, I guess, which for me, it doesn't hurt too bad to have a deeper voice every now and again. So, but just looking at the stat lines, I mean, we had 25 minutes of time of possession to 34 minutes of time of possession. One that really kind of sticks out to me, because what was the best thing about this recruiting class? And what are we kind of really focusing on, it seems like, around this team?
Wide receivers.
All right. So what do you think the wide receivers numbers were?
I know what they are, obviously. But watching the game, you pretty much know what the numbers are.
Yeah.
But one wide receiver with one catch.
Yep.
And it was, of course, Burks.
Of course it was Burks. The guy goes 100%, and there is going to be a long list of, if Chad Moore stays around, of the best recruiting he has to do is 2 years in a row, and it's with guys that are still on his team and keeping them from going into the free agency known as transfer portal.
Well, the good thing is it's kind of calmed down. I mean, we kind of talked about the last – that wasn't even transfer, but, you know, decommitments. But as we said last episode, that seemed pretty scripted. But I was reading this article here by Andy Hodges.
Okay.
And we have – this is who we have that still have a red shirt. They're safe. They're good for the rest of the year now. And it's obviously KJ, Spivey, Shamar Nash, Hudson Henry, Dylan Rathke, which the offensive lineman, I believe you were pretty high on coming in. Chibuzi Nwana.
That's the man,
good thing you weren't doing that.
Yeah, that's the lineman as well, right?
That was one of the last ones, wasn't he? Enoch Jackson, Tyreen Carter, which those are obviously two big ones out of Texas. Zach Simos and Malik Chavis.
Right.
So. That's all pretty big names that were in the recruiting class last year. And I'm not going to read this whole article, obviously, verbatim or anything, but basically it alludes to the fact that it sure seems, and I've kind of been on this a little bit, you not so much, especially as of late, but it does seem like this has all been a plan. You don't keep those kind of guys on the sidelines without a reason. And the plan being built around what's coming in, what came in last year and what's coming in next year, and hopefully get 3 wins next year. Woo pig.
Baby. Well, the only way you do that is if you've gotten a written agreement, or not written, but basically a handshake agreement with your AD that you're not going to be gone in 2 years.
That's true, because and he alludes to that as well.
If you're doing that empty with no talk, which I'm sure there is about timeline and that kind of thing and what he expects, but on the outside, what he expects is wins, because he said,
winning is not, or not winning is not
losing
acceptable.
Is fireable with God. That's what he said. Intro press conference. You hear it all across the radio.
Pretty much every Monday morning, don't you?
Yeah. They come.
It opens up every show that comes.
They come in. There's two things that get updated. You know, that clip doesn't. It gets played automatically, and then it's usually followed with how many SEC losses we have, which is 16 now.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's 0-12, right? 13 now?
So, yeah.
We're talking about in a row, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, it kind of alludes to that here, too, saying there has to be some kind of, because they don't seem, he does not seem like he's on a hot seat. You know, like his press conferences are getting pretty what's the word? Robotic, I guess.
Well, they've been all year.
It's same thing, different day, but we'll see. I mean, I hate having to.
It's
look at it that way, but
it's ballsy if he's going out there and has this plan, because right now your plan to the public looks like your plan's to lose. This isn't the NFL. You don't get a
tanking
tank.
Tanking doesn't help.
Yeah, you don't get a tank for draft picks in the NFL, do in the NFL, not in the NCAA.
Right. The good thing, though, is we have the 4 games where we can – I feel it's pretty safe to assume we're done with Hicks and Starkle, right?
I sure hope so.
I mean, we have to be.
I can't say anything, because typically if I say something that sounds logical in my head, I don't see it on the field. So
yeah. That's unfortunate, too. But
I'm just sitting there and saying –
that's what we're looking at. I'm calling it. We don't see them anymore. How the hell are you going to decide to put – John Stephen Jones, shout out to him, by the way. How are you going to put him in against Bama? You've had all these other opportunities, and you're putting him in against Bama.
Yep.
What in the hell? He's probably like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and the fact that it's now, because it seems like they got more creative from time to time with Bama and some stuff, but if there's a team that you don't get creative against, it's Bama, because what you need to be doing is quick releases and getting the ball out and just trying your best to get it in space. You do not need to be prolonging your quarterback back there whatsoever.
Right.
And that's what really got it clicking with John Stephen Jones was.
Well, they've been saying all year that he is the RPO guy.
Yeah.
All through camp, leading into the season, like he's the best one at the RPO. Let's put him in against Bama. When you're down freaking 41-0 or whatever it was.
And you didn't install it last week. You didn't install it this past prep week. I'm sorry, I can't even call them prep weeks for them. I don't even know what they're doing in at that part of the house. I mean, it is bad. I can't get behind this staff, because we'll see what happens the last 4 games, but I'm tired of being in a holding pattern, and I will keep on.
I mean, as far
on,
as coordinators I, go, I will, do you clean house now?
You are set up to clean house. I mean, Chavis took an option, so we're all right there. And Craddock probably ain't too much on that side of things. But in terms of order, believe it or not, I would say Joe before Chavis, but both of them eventually need to be gone.
Right. So. I say Joe before Crave, or I'm assuming you're saying that because you're absolutely losing nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Chavis, you can say, knows defense.
Knows defense, and we've seen something. Like, your guys don't force turnovers by flukes and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, yeah, you got to give him that a little bit.
So, in terms of the pressure and the stuff of that nature, he knows it. But you look at the other side, and it looks like Craddock can't coach himself out of a freaking paper bag or whatever you want to call it.
Wet
paper bag. You know what I'm saying. He's terrible. Awful.
Yeah, it's real bad. But I think I think if the last four games Hicks or Starkle comes out on the field, I think the fan base is going to go nuts.
Yeah.
And we haven't even really seen a nuts fan base yet, as sad as that is to say. If that happens, it's blowing up. Twitter will be blown up because of Arkansas Twitter.
Well, I don't see that happening. Like, if that, in this hypothetical, if that happened, I think the fan base at this point just laughs at themselves and, what's the word I'm looking for?
Apathy.
Apathy, yeah.
Which is hard, heavy word.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we're so used to it to where we're laughing at our own pain, laughing at our own jokes, and it's really sad and depressing. But where it's at.
I watched the game Saturday with an LSU fan. He couldn't even talk shit, dude.
Yeah.
He literally said to me, "That has to be rough." And I said to him, "It's Arkansas, baby. Can't even talk crap, dude."
Yeah. I thought this was, I mean, I was just kind of reaching and just kind of looking back at this year and a half or so. And how many quarterbacks, just off the top of your head, do you think Chad Morris has brought out?
7.
Yeah, you're right there with it. Did you see it?
No, okay. I just
kind of
dartboard there.
Isn't that crazy?
That's not good. And, again, I don't understand the – you give him a little bit of pass last year, a little bit, but this year I don't feel like there's a good excuse for it.
So, I just
– You have – what happened to Starkle? What happened to Starkle?
I don't know. Mechanics are out the window. It's just nothing good there. And like I said, part of me wants to blame it on some of these guys that have this God-given talent that can get past that and kind of blow mechanics out the window, because I've already mentioned it, but like a guy like Mahomes is probably a guy that a lot of these dudes are watching and learning from, but you probably shouldn't be in terms of true mechanics and everything. Like, he can go out there and do that because God-given talent, but when you don't necessarily have all that, you need to fall back on your mechanics and be able to have a stable platform and a good platform to throw from, and he doesn't do that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. That's kind of one of those – Mahomes all around seems like a pretty good role model as far as we know for kids, but yeah. It's kind of a do as I say, not as I do sort of role model.
You can pick up things from his game. I'm not saying he's terrible by any stretch. I mean, he was MVP last year for a reason.
Fantastic.
But,
yeah.
You know.
It's not because of mechanics.
Yeah.
I mean, no-look passes and throwing off an unbalanced platform, or sometimes not even a platform. You're jumping up in the air.
Yeah, and going on the other side, you know, there's plenty of guys going to, like, basketball, for instance. You got James Harden out there shooting with one leg. So you don't want to see that and be like, oh, I'm going to go do that. Why would you emulate that?
There's nothing James Harden does. Talk about that.
Go out there and emulate his defense. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You mean what?
Yeah, exactly.
So if are we recapping Bama anymore? Are we?
So
talk about Burke's effort, I guess.
Burke's effort was good to see. Yeah, but
not surprising.
Not surprising. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where it's what have you done for us lately kind of deal, and he's the shiny new thing, but the whole wide receiver staff hasn't. I mean, they're dudes. Like, It's there. We got a good wide receiver staff, and that's about it. I mean,
and a good wide receiver coach.
Yep. We got
this reorg that's coming. We assume's coming. I hope he isn't. Could he get bumped up, you think? Is he that good?
We don't know where he's at with it, but, you know, the play calling and coaching positional is, you know, different monsters in that.
Right.
You might be able to be set on one certain technique and that kind of stuff, and he's coached some really good guys. We got Courtland Sutton, who's doing great things on a terrible Broncos defense in the NFL that was coached by Stepp. And that's kind of where I'm at with this staff and everything. And I've always, last few episodes, I've talked about what Morris can do to basically get back in my good graces, and that's establishing a better staff.
Well, it's like a producer here just said in the chat, you know, it can't be any worse. And also, I feel like that in itself would just be enough to – I don't want to just do that, first of all. Like, if we get rid of Craddock, which surely we will, he's going to search for a while.
Yeah.
But if we search for a while and we can't get anything better than Craddock, I'm totally fine with a promotion for Stepp, because it would be new. It would be Morris actually doing something.
Yeah. The two guys that probably deserve it is Stepp or Lunny. And that's another bright side of it, was that a local guy like Cheyenne coming from Fayetteville, right, breaking that school record. And, you know, you got to try to find some positives out of it. Cheyenne's trying, you know, he's played.
Which is crazy. It seems that's essentially been the last 2 years, basically, mm-hmm. too. Like, he's definitely coming to his own.
And what's funny is he's kind of been the most crapped on player. In terms of
leading into every season,
leading into all these off seasons, or going through these off seasons, there's been some kind of issue with Cheyenne, but then he lets you forget it once it's on the field. And really, off the top of my head, I don't know what those issues are. It all seemed like maybe meeting stuff or just, you know, university stuff. But again, don't really know what it is. He seems to be a good guy.
Right. Yeah. It always seems to kind of lean towards laziness. He might be an Allen Iverson, man. Practice? You talking about practice?
But yeah,
I mean,
so
he definitely puts it out there on the field every game.
So two guys that might be able to promote into it would be Stepp or Lunny Jr., who I've always been high on that side of stuff.
Always, yeah.
But he's all, you know, he's the special teams guy, which, you know, you want to overlook it. Yes, we've had some cover issues on the gunner and that kind of stuff, but the special teams is definitely improved. From, I mean, it was, we know how bad it was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
And we can set aside the Sam Lloyd fake because, yeah.
That was not a Lunny thing.
That can't be a Lunny deal. And I think that falls a little bit more on Lloyd because, like, you go take your chewing. If you, like, you still have the option just to send it.
I mean, yeah.
He has the delay there. And we don't need to break down that play anymore.
There's nothing to break down.
Yeah.
It never even got started. But anyway, yeah. I'm thinking, though, going back to the next four games or the last four games, producer here seems to be on the train of starting John Stephen Jones and then bringing in KJ. Where are you at on that?
I don't know. So bringing in KJ was weird. Or bringing in John Stephen Jones was weird because especially how they did it. So it was like, three plays, and then pulled him back out one play, and that was before the second half. So when Chad was asked about that, he said it was to give him a weird look or something like that. And I don't think a team like Bama is going to get overwhelmed by a 5'9" quarterback. Yes, he scored, but it's not one of those deals where they're like, oh, they're switching. Whoever's taking the snap, Alabama's going to go after. It's not going
right.
to mess them up too much. They'll adjust, and they'll play accordingly. And I'm sure people will point out the fact that technically that was against the one defense, the one touchdown, and that is what the Sunshine Pumpers are going to be going after. But
it's valid. I mean, it's valid.
It's a breakdown on effort on their side, though. I mean.
But, no, I do understand what you're saying, but you don't. Don't unintentionally take away from John Stephen Jones. I mean,
oh,
there has
absolutely
been a lot
not.
Of,
I mean, the thing.
There have been a lot of advocates for him, but like you said, it's just a weird spot, a weird way he did it. If you're going to do that against Bama, you could have done that against the past five teams, six teams, or whatever going into it. I don't understand.
Well, that's also what you should have been doing the whole game against Bama. that should have been what you saw on tape because that's what Tennessee had. Like, Tennessee moved it pretty well against them, and we know how bad Tennessee is. We're right here with them. So, right. You know, if people score points against your opponent, you should maybe go see how they scored points. And if it is on read options or RPOs or something of that nature, maybe you should try to emulate that in practice, especially if that's going to be the foundation of your offense, supposedly.
That's historically what's been what's chewed Saban up in the past,
exactly.
Not just this year. That's been something, I mean, when he faced Cam Newton, not giving that dude props, but a little bit. But when he faced him, dude, Auburn confused the hell out of him.
Well,
Manziel.
That, and it was, you know, still really becoming a thing. And I think that's those two quarterbacks that you mentioned there. Ultimately, it was like, well, I need to get a guy in here that can have my defense see this every practice and get me guys that can do this because this is where football's going. Also, you know, another shot to Bielema on that one. That's why you should have switched and got you a court. Because here's the deal. Enos proved that he can call a game. So if we want to talk about offensive coordinators, that's a dude that you can try to maybe bring back.
I bet he would.
So the guy has had 4,000-yard passers. He's been at Bama. He's learned from that. Has the SEC experience that everybody will want. Obviously, in terms of these hypothetical OCs that people are wanting, Rhett Lashley is one that keeps jumping out. He's at the shiny and new SMU that's undefeated.
Right.
He's from Springdale. He was at Auburn. He knows Gus Malzahn. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, hey, so since we're talking about coaching and stuff, and I feel like we're going to for the foreseeable future.
Probably for about, when's basketball season start?
We'll still find a way to talk about it, because guess what? Nothing's going to be done then either, I bet.
Nope.
But hit me with that mailbag, bro.
Mailbag!
What you got?
So Greg has hit us up on the voice and text line.
Oh,
he
found
from
it.
His mistakes.
That's good.
Attaboy, Greg.
Hey,
so,
you're still welcome to hit us up at jrdhogcast.com. There is a contact form for a reason, but we also have a phone number.
Yeah. But he says, Greg here, sorry for using the website for my last question. I actually sent it 5 episodes ago, but my AT&T gig internet just now pushed it through. Ha ha, just kidding. Weird flex.
Yeah.
Can you guys discuss and explain the reasoning behind the university discontinuing Bielema's salary? I've heard it was a contract breach, but not sure about the details. I've heard we were putting the money in an escrow account. We use this money to help pay Morris moving expenses later on.
All right. So it's my understanding that it's an $11 million buyout. The idea is he took a job as a defensive line coach for the New England Patriots for an undisclosed amount. I don't know how they can do that. NDAs, all that good stuff. They're very popular nowadays, especially amongst these coaches. But I think the key number that we're hunting for is like that 50,000 range that this might be reported on, which I highly doubt that. But it's I seriously doubt Brett Bielema's coaching defensive line in the NFL at $50,000. So
right.
That might be what's reported or might be the base, and then he might be getting unknown bonuses on top of it, restructured, who knows. But the whole thing is if it's anywhere higher than that, then we don't have to pay him anymore because he's got a coaching a job or equivalent of it. And I'm kind of talking out there. I don't know the details of it because this is a contract that – it's just kind of sitting there between New England and Bielema and his agent and all that good stuff. So the idea was we stop paying him. The money gets set aside. Essentially, it sounds like we're hoping that he sues us and that we can settle. And that way we can maybe settle at like a $5 million instead of $11 million. So then we can, you know, do what needs to be done.
Oh, good old legalities.
Yeah, yeah. There's some, and I mean, the same stuff's going on with Butch Jones at Alabama, and I mean.
Well, I know you and I discussed a little bit before. You sound like you're read up more now since the last time we talked about it, but we were under the impression that it was a college coaching gig, which is why he went to New England
in the
first place.
Yeah, they're gonna have all kinds of fine things on there on the no compete and that good stuff, but also haven't seen it with my own eyes, and I'm not a, you know, sports management or an attorney.
You've watched Ballers.
I've watched Ballers. Yeah, the Rockets taught me a lot. Thank God that show's over.
Yeah, right. Greg, thanks for hitting us up again, and hope you keep doing it, and thank you for listening. If you can believe it, we have something from Andy.
What? Andy? Andy's hitting us up? Was it Andy during the game?
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure about that.
It was a little bit during the game. I just
was a little bit, but he said, and this is it, looks like I'm going to game day, guys.
Oh, no, he had a little bit more than that.
Well, I missed it then. So, I don't even see it in here anymore.
Yeah. So.
Did you delete Andy?
No, I would never do such a thing. So,
I didn't see anything else other than I'm going to game day.
Yeah, he talks on the referee that was there, Mark Curl, that was covering it, and he, yeah. I mean, we were playing Bama, so we know how that was going to be.
So, right.
He says, after one quarter and down by 17, but I really can't blame this one on coaching. And I think this was right after the fumble. He said, sneak bit. So,
well, have fun at game day.
Yeah. So
whatever.
He does say some other stuff, but that probably is off-the-air stuff. We ain't trying to get that E-tag again. No, I'm kidding. It's nothing like that. He also said Chad's having to play walk-ons because his scholarship players are having to transfer, and they don't want to be seen in any plays. Now, I have heard this whole deal where there's been a lot of the tinfoil stuff, people jumping and trying to be a lot of armchair ADing around in the fan base right now. Kind of myself included, I'll admit that.
Dude, but we're all wearing different hats at this point.
But I enjoy a good coaching carousel.
It
takes me back to my NCAA games. But there's a lot of folks that are sitting there with them tinfoil hats on, as I would say, and they are saying that Chad Morris isn't playing these guys so that there's no tape for them to transfer on.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, what's really the problem is they're still going to be evaluated on their high school tape. I mean, it's going to have the same amount of eligibility at that point. Like, why? Okay?
Yeah.
Any coach that's going to look at it is going to take a guy that hasn't played in four games and go look at his high school stuff. And obviously you can't recruit guys that are actively on there, but as soon as they go in that transfer portal, you can. And you're going to hit them up because you probably already have a relationship, especially if they truly were an SEC talent. So these guys that we are talking about, we're not the only team that looked at KJ Jefferson. So everyone's right. Talking about the worst with KJ Jefferson, maybe TQ's in that mix. For some reason, I saw HUD. Hudson's not going anywhere. Come on now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It don't matter.
We're pretty confident with him and Burks.
Yeah, so
I know you're talking about people that haven't played, but
they were going through that, and people were making – it was a very small minority that was talking about Hudson Henry leaving. And, yeah, no, that's not – like, that. At that point, I don't need to read anymore. Like, Hudson Henry, nope, he's not in this conversation. Stop it.
Right. So let's say we're kind of referring back to this Andy Hodges article I was reading. Let's say that all this ends well. And when I say that, I mean, we don't lose anybody else. All these red shirts that are going to get redshirted, hang in there with us. And we turn around and pull off a 8-4, 7-5 season next year. Was all this worth it?
8-4. I mean, that's a huge turnaround. Who'd we get besides Chad Morris?
What do you mean?
I mean, Chad Morris had to be gone if we went 8-4 next year.
Oh, come on. Play my hypothetical game with me.
Okay, I'll play this hypothetical.
Everything stays the same. I'm cool with the coordinators changing, but he redshirted all these guys, and he's redshirting some big-name guys, man. I'm putting my little glimmer of sunshine on what is a terrible, terrible season. But if it all works out, everybody comes back, we don't lose anybody else, that's in this conversation, and we pull off 7-5, 8-4 season.
Ugh. I have a hard time with that actually being worth it because it's their fault. I think you should have still won some games, but it was bad coaching. If you had a consistent quarterback and you had that constant, you know, that constant person in the huddle, we would have been all right in some aspects of it, especially in those closer games. And I think just because you make the turnaround look better because you put together a terrible 2-10 season, or, you know, the fact that you put that together doesn't make your 8-4 look better, because we probably should have been closer to, I'm not saying we should have been bowl eligible, but we should have four or five wins this year. But, and there's still that opportunity. I completely understand that, but where?
If we throw in these young bloods coming in next week and play them the rest of the year,
it adds to your hypothetical in this case, but yeah.
But if LSU wasn't there and we put all in these new kids, you're like, you know, maybe. We know it ain't happening with what's out there right now, regardless of LSU or not. But if you put these youngins out there and see some KJ and Shamar, you know, everybody I named off.
Okay, so why do we need to see Shamar Nash?
What do you mean, why?
Why do we need to see Shamar Nash? Okay, so I'll give you KJ Jefferson.
Okay.
Okay. Why do we need to see TQ? Why do we need to see Shamar? Is it just because we need something fresher? Because that wide receiver core is there.
This is adding to it. We know what we have now. We don't know what's sitting back there. We could end up having an even deeper one.
So who do you want to sit down? I mean, obviously, it's probably going to be more in a spell role. But we also have some guys that aren't 100%. Like, I still think there's potential in Jordan Jones. So you still got him that isn't completely healthy. We're just waiting for him to kind of turn the corner. Kid's a burner. He can definitely create space. You aren't using Hammonds properly whatsoever. I don't get why people can't, in the coaching side at Arkansas, understand what you need to do with Hammonds. But that's whatever.
There's a lot of things like that, though. I mean, it's...
But the idea that you just... Well,
I'm just saying, see Shamar Nash. I would like to see some Shamar Nash.
Okay, yeah. And then, I mean, HUD is a little more interesting in that role, because you can definitely probably exchange him for Harrell at this point, who hasn't really converted over as well. He's definitely better in the blocking side of things. We haven't seen Hudson Henry blocking, but... It scares me when I see him running open in the free and running routes. It's weird that guy's a converted wide receiver.
Might have been why he was converted.
Might have been why he was converted. But again.
But I would love to see, I'd love to see the two linemen we mentioned. I will say Dylan Rathke again. I'm not going to say the other one. That one dude. I'd love to see Jackson and Carter on the line. They were pretty hyped. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Taryn Carter was the lesser of those two, but still getting a lot of looks from a lot of different universities and everything. Zemos, for some reason I felt like he's gotten more playing time.
Now you might be thinking, if you're strictly thinking Zach, there's a Zach Williams that's been playing. So
he's still obviously eligible, but
one thing that's been overlooked from the game, especially during the Stephen Jones drive that everyone wants to talk about, is that there was a center change there. We had Chain Quinnen in there taking the snaps, so there wasn't Ty Clary. And I don't know why people forgot for the last three games that Ty Clary's snaps are slow and terrible, but they are.
He's a big problem with those jet sweep option RPO deals.
You got to get it in the gut.
So bad.
You got to get it in the gut. Obviously, the Nick Starkel fumble, that was a high one, but Starkel should have reeled it in. We heard it on the broadcast. But you go back and watch Ty Clary, and they're coming out sideways and just bleh.
There's no consistency there whatsoever.
It's a scooping motion. Like, if you took a pitching wedge and you had a football on the turf and you just pitched it, that's what his snaps are looking at. You should still have the spiral in it, still have that rotation. you right in the gut.
You sort of just brought in a football bat a little bit.
Football bat, yeah.
You kind of did a little bit. But, so you're with my wrapping it up with the hypothetical, you're not sold on that? That wouldn't make you happy?
No, it wouldn't make me happy because, again, you're the reason. You're the reason for the 2-10. Just because you did things right the next year doesn't, you don't forget San Jose State.
Well, so first of all, Luke, I'm not talking about last year's 2-10. I think we can all agree last year's 2-10 is not Chad Morris's all to bear. But I think if we went 9-3, that'd be, we'd forget about it, right?
9-3? That wasn't in there. It's a big jump, 8-4 and 9-3 in the SEC.
It is.
Especially when you stare down next year's schedule.
Listen to me, first of all. This is where we're at, Dylan. This is our content. Yeah. This is what we have to work with.
I understand that.
We cannot just sit here and just be freaking miserable all the damn time. It's no fun.
Yeah.
We love it. We still tune in every Saturday, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just part of being a freaking Arkansas Razorback fan. And we're going to continue to do this regardless of who's here. So we got to throw a little bit of glitter on it.
Yep. This whole football season, I've stayed just in office gift in terms of moods, and it's been the same one pretty much all year. No doubt about it. I'm ready to get hurt again. And that is it. Every Saturday. That's what's happening.
How are you feeling about next week, though? I mean, do you think there's hope?
It's winnable.
It is winnable.
It's winnable. I know I'm crazy for saying that. We are, I think we're opening at 7-point dogs.
Dogs.
At home. No. You remember when it was, like, pretty intimidating to come in to Razorback Stadium?
Hey, speaking of that, you have a new line you're opening up.
Yes. I guess we can officially announce the JRD paper bag branded Hide Your Shame 3000.
Hide Your Shame.
So you can still go and support those Razorbacks, still support those student athletes, still give to the Razorback Foundation. That way we can continue to have these amazing recruits get disappointed and go 2-10. But you can do it behind your JRD. Hide Your Shame 3000.
Available tomorrow?
Sure.
The stores tomorrow?
You know, I kind of thought pretty high. I had to find out a place that would print. Because, I mean, we're going to throw our logo on it. Sorry.
Of course.
It's going to have some JRD on there. And, you know, we're going to slap.
We're the reason fans have survived this year.
Yeah, so we had to find a producer that would make a brown paper bag with our logo on it. And I thought 70,000, and then I was like, wait, we're not going to fill the stadium. So.
You don't see, that's what hurts me. You don't even think we could fill the stadium with no one's face being visible. Imagine that. All these teams do wide outs, black outs, red outs. What if we did a brown out?
Brown out. We just brown sack out. Hashtag that. Send it.
You think that would be
fantastic. You think we can send that to Hunter? You think he'll, Juracek? Hey, we got an idea for you.
Hey, get in on it while it's hot.
Get.
You don't want to be the guy 10 years from now thinking, I should have invested in those brown paper bags.
I should have done that. So,
Luke gets to say shit on the chat, but I can't.
Oh, well, now you're good there, so we'll just go ahead and see him add that into the rough cuts. But although I don't know if I want to supply high-quality paper brown sacks to the folks because the creativity with the popcorn bags that they do on the fly, and, you know, cotton candy or wherever else they're finding these brown sacks in the stadium, it's quality stuff. So I think the ingenuity, and at this point, we're watching the crowd. Now, obviously, we're being very facetious on all this stuff, but.
Wait, what?
I mean, I might get started, you know, you can hit us up at JRD Hogcast and tell me if you want a branded Hogcast paper sack. We can make it happen, but. When's the next time we have over 70,000 in Fayetteville? Because we won't ever have 70,000 in Little Rock because it can't support it. Just saying.
Man, there's so many different things that go into answering that question. But Honestly, if let's just say next year, okay, just to make this a little more simpler and not get into all the X's and O's about it, we're going to have to be going into a ranked opponent. Like, they're coming to us, and we're sitting at, like, 5 or 6 and 0. That's what it's going to take.
Yep. Now,
I don't know who, when, how, or where. I mean, even for us, we're going to go to the games as often as we can. Every opportunity we get, we're going to go. And I think a good majority of people feel that way. But to actually get the student section to stay alive there and to get that freaking north end zone full for once, I mean, we're going to have to be either, like I said, we're going to have to be undefeated, I feel like. And we're going to have to be on the cusp of being in the top 25 or just in the top 25. And we're looking for I think at that point, obviously schedules don't line up this way, but let's just say an LSU comes into town, maybe Auburn, something like that.
All right. So I will straight up answer the question. September 11th, 2021.
Texas. No matter what we're sitting at?
I think no matter what, no matter where we're at, we feel
hey, they lost, and that's fantastic.
It was a pretty good weekend besides some things. So,
yeah.
Shorthorns losing, OU losing, wow.
That was weird.
That was tough. But, yeah, I think, especially if we go into this dreamland of yours with the hypothetical of 9-3, then we can go in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks undefeated in the 2021 season, and we play them Shorthorns. It's got to get close to it. I think even if we're, you know, still relatively, if Chad Morris
we're garbage.
Yeah, if Chad Morris is still here, we will be bad in 2021. So
you're just not going to.
He won't be here in 2021 at this rate.
Well, obviously, no, not at this rate. His future rides on the first 6 weeks of next year.
First 6 weeks. So we're.
Don't you think? I mean, if we're going into that again at 2-4, I mean, do you think he gets to coach that seventh game?
I hate the idea of a midseason fire, but hey, it worked for LSU, right?
Good God, didn't it though?
Yeah.
But see,
we don't have a guy like that. I don't think that can step in.
No,
I got Barry Lunny,
not.
But I don't necessarily know if he could take over a whole program quite yet.
But I think the reason I like the midseason fire is because you're going in, anybody that's thinking about branching out, doing their own thing or whatever, it's there. Like, that's going to be the first one that pops in their head. Like, oh, Arkansas has got availability. You mentioned somebody we were talking on the phone the other day, and you said that they already fired their guy. I can't remember who.
Rutgers.
He was the first. Yeah, Rutgers already fired Ash.
Chris Ash, yep. He was the first FBS firing.
Yeah, and of course Rutgers isn't quite the same level, but regardless of what anybody thinks about Arkansas, it's still a good job. So still in the SEC West at that. So
it's a good job right now because of the pay. I mean, you're gonna come to Arkansas and you're gonna get at least $3 million, because I think Chad Morris has proved he can be garbage and collect $4 million.
Man, I didn't set up a target. Over here, were you taking that many shots today?
I'll take all the pop shots in the world.
You're out, huh? You're done.
Is this a surprise? I thought this was.
Well, I thought that you answered JT the other day, and you sort of slowed it down a little bit. You made it a little bit more about the coordinators.
I guess truly he does have a, like I have said multiple times, that he can establish a staff, but right now, I don't think he will.
Okay, well. It's depressing. It is depressing. I'm with you. I love a good coaching search, but
so I mean, I'm looking way ahead here, but you've got me going with this hypothetical 8-4, 9-3.
I didn't do nothing. The Razorbacks did.
I know, but this stretch. So next year we have a bye week. Our first bye week falls on October 24th.
Okay.
Okay. Before that, we play Bama, LSU, we play real early.
That's stupid.
And those are both home games. And then off of bye week, we get Tennessee. And then we finish the season. We go to Auburn. Then we play Ole Miss. That's a home game. Then we play Louisiana Monroe. And then we will play Missouri. And that's going to be at Arrowhead next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, neutral site, of course. You see 9-3 in there. in this hypothetical?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, man. I don't see.
That's.
Man. I mean.
Good Lord. Way to end the show.
That is a tough stretch. All I can say is we get Tennessee and Charleston Southern.
Yeah, we're not even happy about Louisiana Monroe.
Well, we know what they can do. Hey, they're the last unranked team to beat Bama, right?
Yeah. All the way back in, what, 08?
07?
Something like that? Good Lord.
They talked about that on the broadcast. Really,
I can't even have fun with hypotheticals anymore.
No.
I forgot about that. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's real tough. But, hey, you can only play the games that are in front of you, whether they're good or bad.
But still, if you want to go spend money, watch them. I mean,
hey, if we had more time, I would have already been to more games. It's...
Yeah, I mean,
nothing for me.
I'm still a sucker. Nothing will, in terms of, like, me just being like, I'm not going to go watch that in person. I will never be that person. If I've got time and I've got the money, I'm going to go put my butt in a seat and watch every minute of it, no matter how painful it is. But that's ultimately how I am. There is some other sports, too, that we can get behind. We haven't really touched on a lot of them because that's just what's going on. This is what's popular. Women's soccer, we got to give a shout-out to them. Mm-hmm. They are lighting it up, being top rank, and just continuing it. Being on ESPN top plays, I don't know if you saw that zinger. Whole field, whole pitch, pretty much. It was a beauty of a goal, and I'm not a big soccer guy. And I was like, hey, maybe that'll actually get me watching soccer. I have been to live soccer matches, and it just is kind of a different deal. It is pretty fun, actually. Haven't been to a Razorback soccer match, but that's kind of just on me. But I have been to one or two in my time just for some other stuff, and they're fun. We got basketball right around the corner, and I think it's going to be a little more entertaining. Right now, everyone's...
Women's preseason top 25, right?
Yes, I think I saw that.
I think so.
Yeah. And, you know, basically with that, people are on the men's side, people are kind of in a holding pattern to see what the NCAA is going to do. Just keep in mind, we're Arkansas and they're NCAA. They might only have denied 6 out of like 40 so far. But if the next one's, then if it's only going to be 7 this year, it's probably going to be Connor. I mean, this isn't...
That's just how it goes for us.
It's just how it goes. I mean, the NCAA...
One good thing... Go ahead. Sorry to cut you off, but one good thing out of this weekend is we did not see Bama privilege.
I mean, they... Did we get called for a penalty?
I don't think we did.
Yeah. So, or at least a penalty wasn't accepted against us. So, there's that.
You want some silver linings.
There's that, so... Maybe the checks are drying up. Who knows?
Or they just knew they didn't need them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that was.
What do you got? You got to leave on something while we wrap here.
We can leave on the fact that you get 2 days off this week at work, basically.
Okay. Well, there's that. So
I do not. It's going to be raining again. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. That's all right.
You pissed on my hypothetical, Dylan. You ruined my mood. I'm sitting here like, hey, we got
I'm sorry,
here.
But I'm not going to let you leave until you give something on the Arkansas side. I'm excited for some basketball, man. I really am.
Well, no, hey, honestly, all kidding aside, I'm looking forward to seeing some freaking KJ Jefferson, just new faces in general. It's got to happen. I think everybody assumes pretty heavily that it's going to happen, and I am genuinely looking forward to that.
Well, that's good. So, if it actually happens. I had to get one more in there. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I am Sunshines and Rainbows Jordan Russell.
For once, you're supposed to be the grumpy old man, but hey.
I know, right?
Shout out to the producer, Luke Griggs. You can hit us up on Twitter at JRD Hogcast. The website's still there. Comment section's still there. Greg's using it. JRDHogcast.com. The phone number is 479-308-8605. Until next time, Woo Pig Suey.
See a little pride on my face, 'cause I got to see I'd be cheering like a schoolgirl won't.